The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Good afternoon. Actually, good evening, really. I've just been opening up with good afternoon for so long that I forget that, 3 p.m. is not 6 p.m., although I think we've made it very clear that my idea of time isn't as accurate as it should be.
Little wibbly-wobbly here and there.
Well, anyways, it's 13 after the hour of 6 p.m. on Friday, July 24th, 2020, and you are listening to the KTQA Daily Briefing with your usual cast of characters. I am Sam. With me is Becky. And before you say anything else and start challenging me on the time or date or phase of the moon or whatever, I just want to thank you for taking the last couple of daily briefings solo, even if you can't remember that it's the American League and the National League.
I remembered about two-thirds of the way through the broadcast. I came right down after the broadcast and I said, Sam, you won't believe what happened. Yeah. I forgot, solo, in a room, by myself, the names of the two leagues in the sport that I am most interested in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a reason I really prefer to have a partner when I'm on the air, because I am so liable to make mistakes precisely like that, that it's nice to have somebody who will back me up on facts when I miss them. You know, just as long as they aren't on a huge hair trigger.
Are you referring to Monday's briefing at all, Sam?
Monday's briefing, last Friday's briefing, last Wednesday's briefing, last Monday briefing.
I'm very glad to have you back in the studio. We've all got a little bit of quarantine stay-home brain going on.
We do, yeah. Okay, if it's not really clear here, this is a bit, and we are having fun.
I'm always having fun when I'm in the studio with you, Sam.
Yeah, okay. Just sometimes I think people, the way I do that joke might come across is a little too critical. And frankly, I am anything but critical of your output and of what you've been doing with the Daily Briefing.
Well, thank you, Sam. I could say the same of all of the amazing behind-the-scenes work that goes into the radio station that folks that are listening might not be like listening to or listening for or aware of.
Just let me compliment you. Let me compliment you.
Fair enough.
So actually we do have some educational stuff. You've been doing some book reading here in the studio when you haven't been doing the Daily Briefing.
I have been. You know, one of the things that we do in our particular way of delivering English language arts curriculum is to read aloud certain really key passages and readings and short stories for our students to allow for a first reading and then a fine reading that they do on their own and then an analytical reading, to really stress that literacy process. And, well, we can't do that if we're not in the classroom in person. So right. Students will now all have audio recordings narrated by yours truly.
Well, for the least important reason why I think that's a good idea, there are so many words that I've only read and have never heard spoken. And it's nice to hear as many words as possible spoken before you end up saying something strange on the air. And I was like, what is that? I don't know. I've just never said it aloud before.
You know what? That's the epitome of studenthood, Sam. It's always striving to improve and do better.
Yeah, I said a word wrong on the air once and it was a complete catastrophe.
Was it now?
Yeah.
Well, I hope our listeners know that this is all just a big facade.
Jeez.
Shall we get to the updates?
We're laughing and we're having fun, but there are some pretty major updates going on right now, and we should get to those as soon as possible. So why don't we?
All right. Well, state-level updates can be found on COVID-19 in multiple languages online at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. The state's coronavirus Q&A line is staffed 7 days a week, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. The number for that is 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can text the coronavirus Q&A line at 211-211 in any language. Dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way, and you can also visit wa211.org online. The Washington Listens support line is available from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on weekends to help Washingtonians cope with pandemic-related stress as a free service for those who are not in crisis but need an outlet to manage stress. The number for that is 1-833-681-0211.
Moving on to state-level information, on Thursday, Governor Inslee announced modifications to the state's phase economic reopening plans. Starting tomorrow, July 25th, face coverings will be required across the state in all common spaces, such as elevators, hallways, and shared spaces in apartment buildings, university housing and hotels, as well as congregate seating such as congregate settings such as nursing homes. Starting July 30th, indoor restaurant dining service will be limited to a maximum of 5 people per table who must be from the same household. Table occupancy at restaurants in Phase 3 counties is reduced from 75% to 50%. Outdoor dining and takeaway remains available for small parties from different households. Restaurants must also close gaming and social areas such as pool tables, dartboards, and video games. Bars will be closed for indoor service, but can continue outdoor service. Alcohol service inside of restaurants must end by 10 p.m. Also, starting July 30th, the number of individuals allowed to use fitness centers and other physical health venues at a given time will also be reduced. In Phase 2, only 5 individuals, not including staff, will be allowed for indoor fitness services at a time. This includes gyms, fitness studios, and indoor pools, ice rinks, volleyball courts, and tennis facilities. Fitness center occupancy in Phase 3 will be reduced to 25%, and all group fitness classes are limited to no more than 10, not including the instructors. Indoor family entertainment and recreation centers like mini golf, bowling alleys, and arcades are prohibited from opening, as well as indoor card rooms. The governor has extended a moratorium on residential evictions through October 15th. The full memo is available at governor.wa.gov and at coronavirus.wa.gov in the news sections. Federal funds are in the process of being distributed to localities across the state, earmarked for rental assistance and shelter operations.
We have some news from colleges throughout our state. Washington State University announced that it will offer full remote classes for the entire fall 2020 semester for all Pullman-based undergraduates, with extremely limited exceptions for in-person instruction. Graduate student plans are slated to be announced August 1st. University-owned residence halls will open August 15th for students who have a demonstrated institutional need and are approved to live on campus. Cougar Health Services will continue to provide medical and mental health care for WSU Pullman students. The University of Washington will determine by August 7th if all undergraduate courses will be conducted remotely, but as of now, plans to teach as few as 10% of its classes in person. Seattle University will be primarily virtual, with some in-person and hybrid instruction for performance-based clinical and laboratory courses and for students living on campus, but will be adjusting its fall quarter calendar to run from September 9th to November 24th. Eastern Washington University will also teach 100% of undergraduate courses online. There's also some news in the sports arenas. I guess that's literally the sports arenas, right?
In the area of sports,
there
perhaps?
We go. Yeah, that one. The WNBA will begin an abbreviated season starting tomorrow after players and staff have been isolated in Florida since July 6th with no new COVID-19 cases. The Seattle Storm will tip off against the New York Liberty at 9 a.m. Pacific time on Saturday. The Collegiate Pac-12 Conference is continuing with plans for a 10-game conference-only schedule to begin in mid-September. The Mariners are playing their first game of the abbreviated MLB season tonight in Houston against the Astros.
Moving on to Pierce County, the Pierce County Health Department issued a recommendation yesterday for schools in the county to begin the school year with remote learning due to the current trends in COVID-19 incidents. Subsequently, the following Pierce County school districts announced that they will start with full-time distance learning. Eatonville. It is supposed to be Eatonville.
Okay, yeah, that's my typo.
Bethel, Eatonville, Franklin Pierce, Ording, Puyallup, Steilacoom, Tacoma, and White River. The Tacoma School Board was slated to approve a hybrid model, but instead the superintendent declared that the district will begin school in full remote learning unless health guidance changes over the next 6 weeks. The health department director advises that in order to resume in-person schooling as soon as possible, everyone should stay close to home, wear masks, limit interactions to a small circle of friends and family, stay 6 feet from others, get tested for COVID-19 if you are experiencing symptoms or are part of a heavily impacted ethnic, racial, or social group, keep hands washed, and prioritize that any small gatherings take place outside where fresh air circulates. The county is currently hiring mobile test site workers at $18 an hour. Interested applicants should go to governmentjobs.com and search for Pierce County. The Pierce County Recreation Department is offering a virtual emergency preparedness summer camp for kids ages 6 to 12 this August. Go to piercecountywa.gov and look in the recreation section or call 253-798-4753 to sign up your child. Workers with the U.S. Census Bureau have started a door-knocking soft launch in Tacoma and Pierce County for residents who have not yet responded to the 2020 National Census. Workers will be wearing masks, practicing social distancing, and collecting data on handheld electronic devices. They will not be entering any homes. Individuals can fill out their census online at 2020census.gov or call 844-330-2020. Moving on to the city of Tacoma, Tacoma Metro Parks will be starting outdoor dance fitness classes in August, held at various parks and centers across the city. Visit metroparkstacoma.org and search for events.
We do have numerous free testing sites that are in our region. If you're up north, for Seattle locations, visit seattle.gov or call 206-477-3977. For locations in King County outside of Seattle, visit kingcounty.gov. For Pierce County locations, visit tpchd.org/COVID test. That's the webpage of the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department. So tpchd.org/COVID test. Next week's mobile testing events include a testing event at Gig Harbor High School on Tuesday, July 28th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and a testing event at West Pierce Fire and Rescue Station Number 21 on Wednesday, July 29th, 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Patients can also call their healthcare providers for tests. Some of the testing sites offer rapid test results, while others have a 48-hour or 5 to 7 day turnaround time. The health department reports that around 20% of COVID tests in Washington State are being delayed because of national shortages like lab supplies and chemicals and plastic vials and pipette tips. So the department advises that those needing fast results should call testing sites to see if they're using in-state labs to do the analysis, since in-state labs are seeming to have more rapid turnaround times than large out-of-state labs.
All right, so I'd like to review a couple of things that may have been misstated. So not only are you listening to the magic of live radio as done by non-professionals, or I guess semi-professionals might be more appropriate, but we are a very small operation, and we are actively trying to grow that operation, and sometimes that means we don't get to pre-read our notes before we go on the air, and today is one of those days. So in order to sort of help, you know, make sure we said the right thing, so in the state news, congregate setting, did I get that right?
Yeah, so okay. Congregate settings are all places, these are among the places that now really you must wear a mask no matter what. Congregate living are things like dorms and rehab facilities and group homes, things like that, where okay. People live in congregate, right?
So communal housing.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Dorms. Word? Dorms, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe in the notes we could maybe make that a little bit clearer so that...
True. Congregate settings is something that we don't hear very often in common language.
It's actually a phrase I've never come across before. So
yeah.
That's part of the reason it tripped me up. I thought maybe it was a typo. Also, there were, you know, other ones around there, but I worked around those. And then it is the...
Eatonville schools,
not the... Yeah, okay. It's one of the ones that are opening up with full remote learning. This has been the number of arguments about opening up with full remote or partial remote or trying to get everybody to go to school at once. That's been flying around. So I wanted to be very, very clear about the following Pierce County school districts. I'll say them all again: Bethel, Eatonville, Franklin Pierce, Ording, Puyallup, Steilacoom, Tacoma, and White River. They're all starting with, at this point, full remote, unless Pierce County Health Department directs that something else would be safer.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay. Like I said, folks, you know, sometimes...
sometimes magic of live radio and just small operations and volunteer-based operations means that a few little T's don't get crossed or I's dotted, things like that.
Well, I mean, you know. But I believe we did get the information out, and boy, there was a lot of information this time. So.
Right. And we should remind our listeners that if you missed any of that information, we keep that up on our website. Every single thing that we've read out as part of the daily briefing is there in perpetuity online with links. So some of those URLs, some of those website addresses.
Yeah, URLs is one of those things that doesn't translate to the spoken word very well.
No, and I've actually been in conversation with various agencies and municipalities saying, hey, we're a radio station. We want to make sure that these resources are available for our communities. But it's really hard when you give a bit.ly or a tiny URL, you know, things like that, that work well for clicking on social media, but don't work very well when announcing them in just oral form. And, well, not everyone is there online. Not everyone's clicking through, scrolling through their Facebook or Instagram.
But that's also part of the reason why we very much try to include phone numbers with any information that we give out. So, because phone numbers, at least they're a string of digits that we're all in a format that we're all familiar with. So, and then for our part, we try to make our URL very easy to understand, daily.ktqa.org. And all of our notes, once these are corrected, will be with this particular podcast. So that's it for today.
Well, it's not quite it for today.
That's it today for the updates. But
it is.
We do have an interview today. So why don't we move on to that? Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma non-emergency information line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org. You can call or text us at 253-330-8821, where you will probably talk to either me or Becky.
Claire Bunker is the Grants and Communications Manager for Nourish Pierce County, the food bank distribution network here in the county. Welcome, Claire.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So tell us about Nourish Pierce County. Who are you? What's Nourish Pierce County all about?
Nourish Pierce County is the oldest and largest food bank system in Pierce County. We operate at this time 23 distribution sites. Five of those are brick and mortar, what you would consider a more standard food bank. And then we have another... currently, we've got about 18 more sites that are being operated through our two mobile food banks. Our mobile food banks are retrofitted semi-truck trailers where people can go and select their food, pre-COVID times, that is, right out of the back of the truck. And that visits sites throughout Pierce County every week.
Wow. You know, I've been in Tacoma for more than a decade, and I remember fish food banks and was reading about how Nourish Pierce County was something that grew out of Fish Food Bank Network. Didn't fish used to be a religious network around here? Is Nourish Pierce County religiously affiliated?
Not really anymore, though we do operate out of several area churches. And you're correct in that, I see you've done your homework, and that we have almost 40 years of history and started with fish food banks as a group of churches managed their own food banks. And then they came together and started working together. And then we became incorporated as fish food banks in the early 1980s. But then by 2017, we decided to change our name to Nourish Pierce County, even though it's very much the same operation, but just to be a little more defined as to what we do. Fish food banks, because we were no longer religiously affiliated, and also it's just a sort of confusing. My understanding is people sometimes even called up here thinking that we gave away fish food, you know, food for your pet fish. No, Nourish Pierce County is just more reflective of what we're doing in the county. So we rebranded in 2017.
Now, you were referring to typical times or pre-COVID times. I was wondering, who were the individuals that keep Nourish Pierce County operations running during typical times, and then maybe how that's shifted during the pandemic?
Yes, thanks for asking about that. We have relied over the years on up to 1,000 volunteers annually. We are so fortunate to be working in communities where people just want to get involved and give back. And so many of our operations are reliant on these volunteers that helped out at each of the individual distribution sites, handing out the food or helping people to shop for food in a way. We had a self-select model where clients were able to enter our food banks or the mobile food bank as well, and they walked along with a volunteer and they pushed a shopping cart and the volunteer helped them to select the type of food that was best fitted for their families. But that has sort of, since COVID, that has sort of gone away, as many of our volunteers are sort of the retiree age. They are staying safe and staying home as they should. And so we have the National Guard at this point.
I was listening to some of our, you know, big news reports and everything, as I do in preparing for a daily briefing, and noticed that the governor had requested of the federal government an extension of the National Guard service mission in Washington State, because they've been primarily helping with food distribution, as so many more people have become of need of basic food staples. If the National Guard mission isn't renewed, or the National Guard members that are serving in Washington State are maybe shifted to things like contact tracing, what is Nourish Pierce County going to look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. At the beginning in early April, when we first had the National Guard come out, we had up to about 60-some National Guards at our distribution sites helping out. We're now down to about 30, low 30s, still guards people helping out as we're recruiting back volunteers. And at this point, we're not sure what's going to happen after July 31st, when so far that's the end of their deployment for us. We could not have done it without the National Guard. We are so, so grateful and thankful for them. But we really are looking to get back so many of our volunteers, those that feel safe. You know, our first priority is the health and safety, the well-being of all Nourish community, whether it be our volunteers, our staff, and our clients. But yes, we are really looking to get volunteers that feel that they can work out in the community. They have to be 17 years or older, be of good health, because without it, we can't get it done. We are a very small staff of less than 20 people, and we serve in quote-unquote regular times over 66,000 people annually, which is about 7% of the Pierce County population. 20 people can't do that without help.
Now, you said that volunteers have to be 17 years old. Sounds like maybe a good opportunity for high school students that are looking to, maybe high school juniors or seniors that are looking to fulfill community service requirements, or see a real hands-on way of working or future line of work, possibly in food security issues or nonprofit organizations and things like that. Is there any other requirement besides just being 17 years old and willing to help out?
You do have to pass a background check, so that always happens. It is a bit more physical work than the way we were doing it before, because we have switched since the COVID situation. We have switched from allowing clients to self-select to a pre-boxed, pre-bagged model. So our volunteers or the National Guard have been pre-packing boxes and bags full of groceries, and then our clients no longer enter the food bank. At some sites, they do a walk-up. At other sites, it's a drive-up situation. And so we need people that can then carry the boxes and the bags to put in the back of people's cars. So it is a little bit more physical than helping somebody along with a shopping cart.
I'm glad to hear that sometimes a vehicle isn't necessarily required for being a recipient, because there's, we know, food is, you know, something that everyone needs regardless of whether you have a vehicle or not. I was also reading that in Pierce County, 12% of households live in poverty, and another 24% are above the poverty line, have job workers, have, you know, income earners, but still don't make enough to afford basic necessities like housing and childcare and food and things like that. And you said that, you know, during typical times, Nourish Pierce County serves about 7% of the population in Pierce County. But looking at those numbers, there could actually be more than a third of households that experience food insecurity at some point. That's huge. And especially with so much uncertainty and so much unemployment and things in flux right now, I can only imagine that that number is growing. How does Nourish Pierce County sort of deal with that and interface with that?
Yeah, definitely it is growing. In fact, in May and June, we recorded our highest numbers ever in, like I said, over 40 years of service. We gave out enough food for over 1 million meals. We're having a lot of people that are coming to the food bank for the first time. You know, my job as a communications manager, the grants manager, I don't necessarily interact with clients on a day-to-day level, but I myself have taken phone calls from people that need to come to a food bank. They've never done it before. They need to ask questions. And everybody should know that, you know, you just come, you look at our, go to our website, find where, when we're open at a place and near, that's closest or convenient to you. And you come through and our managers, our volunteers, our staff, we will help you out. And it's, you know, that's, we're there for them. But how we're dealing with it, again, we are relying 100% on the generosity of our community. And so far, our community has really stepped up. We are so grateful for the help that we have received. We have been able to secure some emergency funding from local foundations. We do rely on grocery rescue, but I will say from my understanding, some of that numbers are down because more people are home and more people, as we know, early on in the COVID situation, were stocking up on food. It's been a very fluctuating circumstance. So what I tell you right now, a week from now might be completely different. But our staff has been very creative. Our volunteers that have stayed with us or that want to come back have been very dedicated. And our community has been very generous. And but the need continues. So we need to keep tapping those resources.
In terms of the folks that may be utilizing a food bank for the very first time that might not, you know, be familiar with how things work, do recipients need to provide any kind of documentation or register in any way? Does residency status or citizenship status matter in any way?
We serve anybody in need. We do ask when people come through for the first time. Now, because of social distancing, we are collecting less information than we do typically. So maybe they come through and they're in their car, they stay in their car, and they might be approached and asked to put a driver's license at their windshield, at their on their dashboard through their windshield, just so that we can record, just get them registered. It just helps more so with our numbers when we go for grants and that kind of thing, and just to keep track of how many people we are serving. And then we just ask them how many people are in their household so that we can then distribute an appropriate amount of food to them. We serve people enough for three meals a day for 3 days for every member of their household. But really, you know, even if there's a language barrier, we will figure out how to work with you. I mean, even if people should not feel intimidated to come through. The amount of information that we collect is very minimal.
You know, Claire, I imagine that during this really, really challenging time of COVID-19, there are still some success stories or stories of maybe unusual teamwork that have kind of emerged during this pandemic. Any that come to mind that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Oh, boy. Let's see. What can I tell you that would, you know, I've just been impressed with our staff, our food bank managers in particular. I mean, they are on the front line. You know, that's been a word that we've heard on the news every night since this situation has begun, you know, singing out praises to people who are on the front line, and our food bank managers are those people. I am the grants and communications person, but I pretty much am in an office in front of a computer all day doing my thing. Our food bank managers are interfacing with clients. They are interfacing with volunteers or the National Guard. They have had to jump through hoops to figure out how to change models. Our brick-and-mortar food banks are all run out of churches, and some of them, we have one that was designed to be a food bank, but the others are not. And so all of a sudden changing from one model allowing clients to come inside and now having to switch in a matter of days to a pre-boxed model and setting up a drive-through type situation in a church parking lot, it's been a challenge, but everybody has pulled together and figured it out, and they share information, what's working, what's not working. So they've been great. I'm so impressed with all of them.
Beautiful. And Claire, what motivates you to do this kind of work with Nourish Pierce County? There are so many nonprofit organizations that could utilize, you know, the work and expertise of communications, PR, grants writing, things like that. Why are you at Nourish Pierce County?
You know, I really enjoy nonprofit work in general. I had an older sister who was born with cerebral palsy and developmental disabilities. And so the idea that not everybody gets the same deal in life has something that's always been present to me, something I've always been aware of. Food insecurity has never been an issue for me. I've always been very lucky, both as a child and as an adult. That's never been anything I've had to worry about. But so many people do, and for reasons that are beyond their own control. Maybe it is because they have a disability. Maybe they lost a spouse. Right now, obviously, with the economy, it's becoming, it's sort of shined a light on the situation even more so. I mean, we see the situations with food banks in the need being needed in the news on a regular basis now. But it's always been there. It's always been there. You know, a lot of things are taking a break right now. Hunger is not one of those things.
Claire, how can listeners learn more about Nourish Pierce County?
They can go to our website for starters, and that is nourishpc.org, so nourishpc for piercecounty.org. Or if the website is not their easiest way of connecting with us, by all means, give us a call. Our office line is 253-383-3164. And they can just be connected to any of us and let us know what they're interested in, and we will do our best to get them connected.
And I imagine you're on social media too as well, right?
We are. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram regularly.
So Claire, thank you so much for joining me today. Anything else you would like to share with our listeners of KTQA Daily Briefing about Nourish Pierce County?
Just if they have the opportunity to volunteer with us. We have shifts available Mondays through Saturdays all over Pierce County. You very well might live in an area very close to one of our distribution sites. If you go online, you can look and pull up a map under our Need Food area so you can see where all our sites are located. Or you can go on our volunteer tab and pull up when our shifts are available. Or again, if you don't have access to the internet, please give us a call and we'll be happy to talk to you and point you in the right direction.
And for any volunteers, I'm certain that folks will be utilizing masks, possibly face shields if you'd like to bring your own face shield, if just any kinds of ways that both volunteers and clients can remain safe.
Yes, we actually provide masks, reusable masks, to all our volunteers, and we've been lucky enough that there's actually community groups in the area that have made homemade masks for us that we share with our clients when we can. We have sanitation, the products that we're social distancing. You know, we're even doing no-touch temperature checks right now. So we are doing everything that we can to keep our community safe. It is of the utmost importance to us.
Well, Claire, thank you so much for joining me today in conversation on KTQA Daily Briefing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Claire Bunker is the Grants and Communications Manager for Nourish Pierce County, the food bank distribution network here in the county.
Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org. Our website is daily.ktqa.org. Or you can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Talk to you Monday.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.
That wasn't a fade so much as it was a slam. The music just hard cut. What's that? We were not live.